Lloyd Jackson here. You're listening to the fourth episode of the Building the Future podcast, sponsored by the Mechanical Contractors Association, MCA Detroit. Every episode, we will be putting a spotlight on the union construction trades training programs and why it's the career path of the future. We're kicking off this edition of Building the Future podcast from the Apprenticeship Information Fair for National Apprenticeship Week from Sur Metro Detroit. Sur Metro Detroit is a community-based organization that enhances lives through a series of education, job training, and job placement programs, along with youth development and educational initiatives. Sur gives Detroit residents the skills, resources, and opportunities they need to achieve self-sufficiency. Today, we're talking with Rocio Campos, Senior Youth Services Manager for Sur Metro Detroit. Also, Veronica Sanchez-Peavy, Senior Assistant Vice President of Adult Services and Regional Director, Sur Metro Detroit. Mark Gartner, Youth Build Construction Instructor from Sur Metro. And Samantha Delapella, Safety Coordinator for MCA Detroit. With me is Rocio Campos. She is the Senior Youth Services Manager for Sur Metro Detroit, alongside Veronica Sanchez-Peavy, who is the Senior Assistant Vice President of Adult Services and Regional Director for Sur Metro. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rocio, let me start with you. Tell us about Sur and the event that's going on today.
So today we're hosting this will be technically our second event for construction fair for the apprenticeships to come in and have our community, our young people, all of our residents to learn about registered apprenticeship programs. Because there's a difference between an apprenticeship program and a registered apprenticeship program. So it's just getting people to know what's out there and what we also have to offer as an agency to get into those registered apprenticeship programs.
Talk about Sur and how they work with the youth in the construction trades.
So Sur Metro has a youth build program, and we also have our Sur Youth Build Learning Academy. We service individuals that are 16 to 24 years old in both of our programs. And I like to say that there's no wrong door for our young people.
Okay.
They will come in, they will do an intake, and then we really work with our young people to figure out what's best for them. And once we figure out what's best for them and they agree to it, right, we start talking about what career pathway they want to take. Mm-hmm. And the construction is one of the career pathways we definitely talk about.
Talk a little more about the Youth Build Learning Academy and the training offerings there.
So we offer our M3 curriculum, which is sponsored by the Labors. And then we also offer OSHA, OSHA 10 at the beginning, then OSHA 30 through our partnership through RBD. Our Rebuild Detroit program, which Veronica will be talking a little bit about as well. We offer CPR first aid, so it's really the foundation that we give them. And then we connect them to the unions because we have a great partnership with all of the unions.
And I was going to ask you, who are your partners?
Yeah, so I want to say all the unions because it takes an entire village to really get the young people to know which route they want to go.
There are several programs, you know, for youth in the city and around the metro area. What makes this one, though, different than those programs?
What makes us different? So we have an entire team that specializes in working with young people and really defining what their career pathways is going to be. And we provide them with supportive services. We provide them with a caring adult, a career coach. And we also provide them with lots of resources that are non-traditional resources.
Talk about those resources. I was going to ask you. I know one thing Sur does is a lot of resources for these young people as well.
So one day we could be providing homeless assistance, right, trying to find them a house, but also providing them with tools to go to work and clothing to go to work, or even a coat. So it really depends on what the young person needs. And we just not work with a young person. We work with the entire family because that's important for us. Who is their champion? And who is in their corner to make sure that young person is successful.
Because I would think, too, because Sur has adult services as well, a lot of the adults need a lot of the same work
absolutely.
As the young people.
They do. Absolutely, they do. And I think that's what's unique about us, that we are not just serving the young person that's coming in through our door. We're serving the entire family. It is a very holistic approach that we take.
How can a young person enroll or engage in the programming here at CERC?
We're just a phone call away, or even, you know, we have an open door policy, so anyone could come in. It's just walking through our doors, or they could call our number, which is 313-945-5200, and it will be option two.
Veronica, I want to bring you into the conversation. Tell us about CERC and the connection with the construction trades.
Yeah, so as Rocio mentioned, we've had a strong relationship with the trades for many years, actually starting in 2009 with their Youth Build program. And building off that, we actually added our Rebuild Detroit program, which is for adults. And essentially, we're creating a career pathway for Detroiters. We're calling our construction talent hub. So from the young person that walks in with Rocio's program to an adult who is looking to attain credentials or get into an apprenticeship, you know, these are some of the things that we offer.
So, and adults are learning the construction trades and those types of things too. What kind of response do you get from the adults when they come through this type of program?
Yeah. I think they're really surprised at the supports that we're able to provide. We're not just here training and providing the one-on-one on the reading and math, because that's what we focus on. So what we have found for our Detroiters is that they have a very difficult time getting into the trades. They don't have the academic skills to pass the technical exam for the apprenticeship to get into a training center. So our niche is to help those Detroiters who need that extra help on math and reading. We have a contextualized curriculum that shows them that math is not just numbers, it's connected to a ruler or measuring or a blueprint. So we try to show them that what they are learning in the classroom, they can apply it to a construction project or a site. And so they're surprised because it's not just that. As Rocio mentioned, we have a lot of supports. We provide them with milestone stipends. So if they get their OSHA 30, if they get their CPR first aid, if they pass their MUST safety modules, because safety is extremely important in the construction industry. And so we ensure that we incorporate that into our training program. If they need a bed, as Rocio mentioned, we have an income support specialist that connects them to basic needs for themselves or their family, food stamps. If they need some support during their time they're in training, we're here for them. We want them to be successful, finish the training program, and be ready to apply for apprenticeship or go straight to work.
So it appears to me that this is an all-encompassing type of program and service where really nothing really falls through the cracks. I mean, you try to take care of every need.
Yes. If we can provide it, we will find somebody that can. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a referral like a call. It is a soft referral. It's somebody that we know at another agency that maybe we can't offer something. We call them, and we have a lot of, we've been around for 50 years.
Right.
So we have a lot of relationships in the community and with employer partners as well. So we make sure that whatever their need is, if it's not us, that someone else is taking care of it.
And I think that is also what makes CERC stand out from other programs, because you can go into a program as a child, learn a specific thing or trade or whatever, but you may have some other issues going on, some other problems
that's right.
Say, well, you know, I can just teach you the skill. Mm-hmm. I can't really do anything about what's going on at home you know, feeding you, all those types of things, or where you sleep. You guys, because you've been around so long, have those kind of connections.
Yeah, we have been intentional in the way that we structure and create our programs. You know, we already know that we can help people get jobs. We're a workforce development organization. We can do that in a blink of an eye. But it's the retention. It's then, you know, keeping them in the program, graduating them, and then the retention in a job. So that's another thing that makes us unique. We don't just say, great, you got a job, congratulations.
Right.
No, we follow up with them a year to 3 years afterwards and are able to offer them some additional supports while they're working. Because what we hear from employers is, you gave me a great candidate, all of a sudden something happened, they didn't call me, maybe they were sick, they don't know how to deal with life situations sometimes, and their way to deal is just to shut down. So we tell them, call us, we'll support you, we'll help you get through it, we'll make sure, you know, you can get to work the next day, or whatever situation you have going on, we can help you.
And you guys work, I know one of your partners too is the City of Detroit. You guys do a lot with the city during the summer jobs program.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of great partners through the city. Renard Richmond is one of our partners. He actually was our previous instructor, our first instructor for Rebuild Detroit. Obviously, partners like, you know, MCA, Mechanical Contractor Association, Grow Detroit's Young Talent for our young people. They're able to get a summer internship. And right now, we're looking to grow adult program as well to have that type of work experience, because there's a lot of funding for young people, which is wonderful, but the adults need that work experience too. And so that's what we're focusing on right now as well.
I know you've been around 50 years. You've had a lot of young people come through here. Mm-hmm. Do you talk to them ever, you know, get back with some who've come through and who have done so well, who have, like, really been accomplished, and they say, hey, boy, if it wasn't for Sir, thank you so much for what I've learned.
Yes, we make sure we pull on graduates. Shaking your head. We pull on graduates during alumni events, graduations. We have them come back and speak and do some mentorship with our current students because they can see, hey, you've been in the same situation. You come from where I come from, and now you're an apprentice or you're a journeyman now. We have journeymen now that have come through our programs, and they're role models. They're role models for our current students.
Yeah, I was going to say, how important is that for someone who has mm-hmm. come through the program to come back and speak to these young people? Yeah. Because sometimes the young people get discouraged and they think, maybe I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But when they see, like, I came through here. I was you so many years ago, and now look at me.
Right.
It's really important because we actually hire our alumni as
That's
well.
Right.
And they help out with recruitment because it is important for them to tell that story and be able to relate to the young people that we're trying to get into our programs. And it's heartwarming to me personally. I still have connections since I started here in 2009 with some of our youth builders who were sitting in the same room. And I've gone to weddings, and now they're just flourish. Mm-hmm. They have their own companies or they're still in the service.
Yeah.
So it's heartwarming to me to see that, to see them grow.
Yeah. And talk about the, you know, young people who come here who, you know, may have, you know, dropped out of school or left school and, you know, maybe thought they didn't have a path forward, mm-hmm. a positive path forward, and they come here and it changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to call them, instead of dropouts, I like to say push outs, because they have been pushed out by the educational system. And that's really what we're here for, is to capture them and be able to nurture that relationship with them and to give them hope and to give them what's next. Let's start thinking of what is next. Let's work with you on whatever it is. It could be mental health. It could be any other barriers that you're having, because we have the services to provide you, either with a partner or in-house, and see them connect either with construction or, you know, into a career pathway ultimately.
Would you like to see something like this, you know, expand across the country?
We would love that.
We would love that.
We actually, as an organization, we're actually in other states, in Illinois and in Texas. And we do some of this work in Illinois. We do a lot of work with the skilled trades as well. We actually connected them to IBEW in Chicago. Now they are now they have an apprenticeship, pre-apprenticeship program as well. So we would love to see that because, I mean, not just in Detroit, of course, with all the construction happening. It's happening all over the country.
Exactly.
So, I mean, a youth development model like ours is, I feel, unique. And definitely scalable.
Mm-hmm. I would think that if I was a teacher or a counselor or someone from a school, even from another state, that mm-hmm. I would want to kind of come here and take a look and see what you guys are doing, because evidently it's working.
Yeah, we would love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think we have a really good blended model, I want to say. You know, we have an entire youth build network of youth build programs throughout the nation. Sir Metro has a very unique program because we have been able to blend all of our programs, youth programs together. I'm sorry, to make this really youth build unique model that we have.
Yeah, we're specialized in braiding funding. We are a nonprofit, and so for both on the adult and youth side, we've learned how to leverage resources mm-hmm. and leverage funding and make sure that we provide a holistic program.
Funding is you know, I'm sure can be trying sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. But you guys seem to do it. How do you make it happen?
We take the show on the road. We are really, you know, we have such wonderful staff that do such a great job with these young people that we're able to show our outcomes, the impact that our work has. So it's not just about the employment numbers, it's about the impact. It's about, Rocio said, that person being a journeyman or coming back, you know, to tell us what they're doing, or coming back to as a construction company hiring our graduates. Mm-hmm. We've seen that as well. So, we definitely... I can always use more funding, but we've been very smart about how we present our work and our impact. We are very data-driven as well.
And talk about the dedication of the instructors here, the people who
they're
are
amazing.
Teaching these young
they're
people.
They're amazing. Yeah, they make it work. Yeah, we have instructors who, we actually have a journeyman on board who has been in the trades for many, many years. And you guys will have a chance to meet him in a little bit. And Mr. Gartner has been amazing, just being able to understand the other side. It's different for a person who's a journeyman to come in and teach, and just being able to understand that is very unique, because it's like, do this, this, and this. Yeah, they want to do this and this because they want to, you know, they might not know how to look, you know, their fractions are not up to par or something is not up to par. So just being able to have that sit down conversation, it's hard for them as an instructor, but he has been able to master that. I'm going to say that. Yeah. Okay. And that goes for all of our, all of our instructors.
For sure. And I will say that, I mean, they're here because they're passionate about the work and working with this community, because we still are a nonprofit, but they're here because they love what they do. And like even our Youth Build Detroit instructor, he used to work at a trades as well. And he's focusing on math and reading, and he has some, you know, background and can kind of connect with the students, but it's really because they want to be here every single day. And they build these relationships, and it goes beyond the classroom sometimes. It goes beyond the ending of the program. So we're really fortunate to have some wonderful staff.
And once again, how can people get in touch or be part of Serve Metro?
Yeah, they can either walk in, you know, we're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or give us a call, as Rocio mentioned, at 313-945-5200, or send us an email, info@sarahmetro.org.
And you say if they walk in, you give the address of where we are.
It's 9301 Michigan Avenue. We're in Detroit. It's the border of Dearborn and Detroit. And within that campus is both our youth center and our adult services center.
Okay. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Veronica and Rocio, thank you so much. It's great. You took me around. I see what's going on here. So you guys are doing a great job for the community and for these young people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much for this opportunity.
Right.
With me is Mark Gardner, Youth Build Construction Instructor at Serve Metro. And Mark and I went to Lutheran West together. So when he walked in here, I said, boy, you look familiar. He said, you look familiar. And so we're here, man. It's good to see you, man.
Good to be seen. Good to be seen.
Let me ask you about your background and what exactly you do here at Serve.
All right, well, so my background is funny. It all kind of ties in at the end.
Okay.
I got my degree from Eastern Michigan University in Management Strategy and Control. Worked for Sherwin-Williams for several years. Left there, and make a long story short, ended up in the apprenticeship for the Carpenters Union. Went through that carpenter apprenticeship, and then journeyed out, worked in the industry for a while, and from there became an instructor at Job Corps, teaching carpentry as well. Left there and came here, is the short of it. Now, in that process, I became an authorized OSHA trainer, and I've continued that certification since. But I have a passion for helping young people, because when I got into trades, I didn't know anybody in the construction trades. Right. The how to navigate that, I had to learn on my own.
Yeah.
So now I'm here to pass that along to these young people who may not know anybody in the trade as well.
Because, you know, when you think about it, I'm thinking about, you know, dad taking me around the city and you see the construction workers on the cranes, and, you know, and you might say, man, that's what I want to do. You didn't know really how to go about doing it, other than, you know, you might try to walk up to a construction worker and say, hey, I want to do what you do. But it's more than that.
Absolutely.
But you say you have this passion for young people, and tell me about that in relationship to what you said, you know, you didn't know about it. What are you finding the same thing with these young people as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the key thing is twofold.
Okay.
I'm not only explaining it to them, a work ethic, good attitude, right? How not to take offense if somebody speaks to you in the wrong tone of voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those type of things. But I'm also modeling it, right? So you can tell a young person something.
Oh, absolutely.
But if they've never seen it, right, that makes a world of difference once they see it.
Yeah.
So I've had students in times past where they looked at me and I gave them directions and looked at me like I was a foreigner, right? Because they had never seen it. I had one young man, you know, we were working outside and we made, you know, sawdust on the ground.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the day, we was, okay, everybody, let's clean up. And he was one of the newer students.
Okay.
And he looked at me and then he kept doing. He took his tools in.
Okay.
But he didn't sweep up. So when we got done, I said, So you forgot to, Lamont, you forgot to sleep. And he looked at me kind of crazy. And I thought he was being disrespectful, but okay. He wasn't. He's like, you want me to sweep outside? I said, yes. He's like, the wind is going to blow it away. And I understood in that moment, he was sincere.
He was sincere.
He was sincere.
Sure.
Right? He didn't know. So things that, there are things that we take for granted that the young people know. But I'm finding we can't take anything for granted. We need to model, right? Young men need to see there's a shortage of real men, men that, you know, and that's not everybody's not going to work with their hands. I get that.
That's right.
But a lot of young men have not seen men get up every day and go to work. They have not seen men get up and clean. And, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Just some basic stuff, right? So that's part of where my passion came in.
And when you teach, what are you teaching these young people? You know, what types of skills or what are you teaching in your class?
So what I am teaching, so I start right out of the gate. I put a tape measure in front of them, and we go to work, right? I break down the inch, fractions of an inch.
Okay.
And I make it simple. In the classroom, when you talk fractions, you know, when I was in school, we would talk fractions. I didn't know why I was learning fractions. I was not interested, right? I mean, it was not interesting to me.
Yeah.
So unless you talk money or, you know, so we can break down a quarter, 50 cents, three quarters, and a dollar, right? Now I got their attention. But then I take it the next step further, and I talk about, well, if we're going to build this, you know, I'll show them something that we need to build. I said, but to build this, you got to draw it. To draw it, you got to be able to make some measurements. And then I said, so now we're going to go learn how to do this.
Yeah.
Now I got their attention because they've got this goal at the end of, I want to build this, but to build this, I need to know how to read this tape measure. I need to know how to break down the fractions of an inch.
Right.
I got their attention. And then it becomes easy. And I show them shortcuts, right? I teach them safety, right? So after we get through with the tape measure, we talk safety before we get in the shop.
Okay.
Right? We're going through some dudes. And so anytime I introduce them to a tool, and especially a power tool.
Absolutely.
The power tool, we're going over the instructions, the do's and the don'ts of those things. A lot of them have never been exposed to many of the power tools.
You've taught before. What makes Sir different than other places?
But what makes Sir, one of the things I love about Sir is the extra services that are provided, right?
That wrap around
service.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I love. There's opportunities, whatever the need is, if it's housing, if it's transportation, if it's getting IDs, whatever the case may be, they're going to do what they can and utilize resources to help the student get that, to be successful.
Talk about a student maybe that you know that has come through the program that you've taught that you've seen that they've become successful and gone on to bigger things. I'm sure you've seen that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I've been here at Sir Metro since March. Just completed two young ladies. So that story is still unfolding. Even we're having, you know, we have the information fair, registered apprenticeship information fair going on right now as we speak. But the young lady, we had a job fair Tuesday, and she heard about $46 an hour, and she's dancing around here. She's doing what she has to do as we speak to try to take advantage of that opportunity. So there's that situation. But I've had students come through the pre-apprenticeship programs prior. They call me to this day. I had a young man call me probably a month ago talking about work ethic. And he was on the job, and because I always talk, if they weren't doing something in class, I say, you costing me money.
Right.
If you're just standing there, you're costing me money.
Right.
And they used to laugh, and they'd see me coming up, gee, I know, I'm costing you money, right? But he called me, and he told me that he's working for a Lexus, and he was driving the car, and he wrecked the car.
Okay.
But because of the fact that he's a good worker, that he always he's constantly doing something. He says, his boss says, you know, I was gonna fire you, but everybody in the shop said, no, don't fire that kid. And he called me to say thank you for teaching me that work ethic.
Yes.
Right? And so that, you get that shot in the arm. And he wasn't the best student. I mean, he kind of slouched around at first. But the fact, I just did that to every one of the students. Right? If they weren't doing so, I said, man, you are costing me money. Mm-hmm. They got a kick out of that, right? But that's a good, you know, and I've had students that went through, I had a young lady to go through the program who was not necessarily, if you looked at her, she looked glamorous.
Okay.
So she didn't look like construction material.
Okay.
I had a guy from the one of the unions say, she's not going to make it, right? But out of all the students that I had at that particular time, she made it into the apprenticeship.
Wow.
Right? And went on and stayed in for a couple of years. And far last I heard, she was still in.
Great.
So just watching the, you know, students go from what seems impossible to possible and just being successful, whether it's whether they go into construction or whether they just learn a life skill.
Yes.
That does my heart good.
Well, Mark, man, it was good to see you.
Good to be here.
And it's good to, and it's good to speak with you. And thank you for what you're doing and really molding these young people, man, and teaching them some skills that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. Really appreciate it.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
All right. Mark Gardner, Youth Build Construction Instructor at Sir Metro. With me is Samantha DeLaPella. She's Safety Coordinator for MCA Detroit. Also with me, Renard Richmond. He's Construction Outreach Manager for the City of Detroit. Thank you both for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
So, Samantha, let me start with you and talk about, if you can, the MCA safety program and how it's important for our contractors and the employees.
Yeah, absolutely. So our program is still growing. It's going to be ever changing and ever growing as the times change. Our program is, we sit with safety directors from each of our contractors who hire the employees, and we do a round table meeting of what's taken place, you know, throughout the, we have monthly meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about what's happened over the month and what is changing, what standards, what laws, what MYOSHA is coming out with, and any updates that we need to pass on to make sure that our employees are being trained and educated properly.
You know, I've done stories about apprenticeships. I've talked to apprentices, and one of the main things that come up is the safety part of it. And because without that, I mean, you can't build that high skyscraper. You can't build that school. You got to be safe.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the highest importance, right? Everybody has the same thought. Get my employees home safe and sound to their families the way they showed up to work every day. And that's what we strive for.
Renard, I know you work with the City of Detroit and you know, have connections with SIR. Talk about what you do.
So as a construction outreach manager for the City of Detroit, it's a primary goal of workforce development to be inclusive of Detroiters in the skilled trade industry. We have several agreements, primarily with our union partners, called a STEP agreement,
uh-huh.
which is a skilled trades employment program. And what that means is the unions have signed on, well, we have four unions who signed on, to make a commitment to the City of Detroit in hiring or increasing the number of Detroiters over a 10-year period. And so I monitor that process and making sure that we have Detroiters included, because as it says in my title, civil rights is civil rights inclusion mm-hmm. and opportunity. I am the inclusion and opportunity part of it, and so I'm making sure that Detroiters are being included in the industry.
So, you know, a lot of these new projects that are going up, a lot of times it's a requirement of a certain percentage.
Yeah, 51%.
Right. So you are the one to make sure they follow that.
That is correct. So we have a team. I'm not the only one.
Okay.
But we have a team for compliance. And we really try to push the carrot versus the stick. And so a lot of people talk about the contributions that are paid. We look at a workforce contributions, which is an investment in Detroit. It allows for Detroiters to be trained at places like here, Sir Metro Detroit, which is one of where I started.
Mm-hmm.
And we train Detroiters to be able to get on a pathway to get into the industry and then circle back in terms of return on investment in the industry or on the executive order projects that are paying those workforce contributions.
So you are an example of how great Sir Metro is, because
Absolutely.
You said you came through here. Talk
Absolutely.
About your path
So, you know, I don't know how far we go back, but as it started here at Sir Metro, I was the building trades instructor here. That allowed me to connect with a program called Access for All. And our program was called BCO, which is Building Career Opportunities Program. It was to be a feeder into the skilled trades. And we made direct connections with all of our union partners to be able to have access for students to graduate from the program and go into a union trade. That was huge back then. We've made great strides over the years because people didn't know how to navigate the process. Mm-hmm. People didn't know where to go. How do I become a plumber? How do I become an electrician?
Right.
They didn't know how to do that, and we were able to give them access and opportunity to the skilled trades.
So Samantha, let me ask you this. When you talk about, you know, safety, you know, things don't stay the same. Things evolve. And
absolutely.
There's always new safety. Talk about the evolving.
Okay, so changes are constantly being made. The biggest change that we've seen in recent years, and since I have actually started MCA Detroit, was COVID. Everybody was kind of forced to look at their plans and see their prevention of illness programs. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, kind of getting back to the basics of how can we prevent, you know, at the basic level, how do we prevent illnesses from taking place and being passed on through, you know, our job sites and our offices. So that was one of the biggest changes that's been leading to more evolving changes. As 2022 comes about, it was a very warm year for the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So OSHA took a look at that and said, well, now we need heat prevention plans. Does every state have one? Michigan isn't always affected by that because we do have the cooler temperatures.
Right.
However, we did hit really high digits this year. And so we were, again, forced to look at, do we have these prevention programs in place to protect our workers from the heat? So as, you know, as the years go on and as things happen and things come up, we're always forced to kind of go back and take a step back and look at, yes, fall protection is very important, and, you know, and getting caught in or between machinery, machine guards are always important, but then taking a look at the basics, you know, preventing sicknesses from getting around the job sites, preventing, you know, people getting dehydrated and suffering, you know, heat strokes is
right.
Another big important thing. So it's constantly changing, and we're constantly taking a look at our programs and how we can reinvent them to best protect everybody.
Also, safety involves drug-free.
Yes, absolutely,
well.
Absolutely.
And so opioids,
yes.
And all of that,
yes.
That we're dealing with now.
Yes,
you can't be high on the job.
No, you cannot. And you know, and we're taking a look at that too. Michigan has recently, in March of this year, they passed a legislative. They're looking to pass a non-opioid directive.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to, which this is going to require health professionals to offer a directive and inform patients the right to refuse opioids and during treatment and use more medicinal or you know, healthier ways of doing it, and it's going to be accessible to patients so they have a choice outside of the opioids. They don't have to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's huge because then, as you said, you can't be high on a job, and it's very important for safety because, you know, it alters your mind enough, and if you know, if there's an accident and you're the cause of that, you know, it goes back to that person as well. They would be very distraught, and it might cycle through and, well, what's, you know, what had happened, and, you know, their opioid use, and honestly, who knows where that could go.
Because when you're on a job, you could be, you know, high on opioids, you could hurt yourself, but you can hurt the team.
Yes, and there's many people because it's not just one trade that's on a job ever. It is multiple trades. You have the iron workers, the operating engineers, plumbers, pipe fitters. You have everybody on job, the electricians. And so you're not only accountable for yourself, but sometimes on larger jobs, you're accountable for hundreds of people as
yeah.
well.
Renard, I want to ask you, you've been a teacher, you teach. Have students come back to you and say, you know, after they've, you know, graduated, left, got into the construction trades and said, man, thank you for what you did, and I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for you get those kind of stories?
Absolutely. That's a fantastic question. There are many different scenarios. I can tell you stories. Here most recently we did a film documentary promotion on a family that came through here.
Uh-huh.
Sir Metro, husband and wife. The wife came first, sat in on the class and said, my husband has to come. He was a handyman doing handyman work throughout the neighborhood. She brought him with her. The two of them went through the class together, and it transcended and transformed their whole life. He became a millwright. He's now a journeyman in the millwrights, and he's still working. She didn't go into the trades, but she ended up going to work for Shinola and doing creative design.
Uh-huh.
So they have four children. And so those are the kind of thank yous that you get as a reward. And that's just one of many stories that I could tell you. But that's one that was, I know, near and dear because it was most recently put on film. As a document and testament to what Sir Metro has done and the work that was done here.
Well, Renard Richmond, Constructive Outreach Manager, Civil Rights Inclusion and Opportunity for the City of Detroit, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And Samantha Della Pella, Safety Coordinator for MCA Detroit, great information that you gave us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for listening to the Building the Future podcast. I'm Lloyd Jackson. We'll see you next time.